Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less.
This podcast will be in two parts, and the first part we'll be discussing the Dionysian artificers. As of late, we've been talking about Masonic activity in South America, and the topic of this podcast is particularly apt, as it was inspired by the work of a Brazilian author on a theoretical origin of the craft amongst the Masons of the ancient world, referred to in his book as the Dionysian artificers. The reason I bring this up is that I'm sure Brother Earnshaw is aware from being in Japan, Masons researching the origins of the craft from its place of origin and motherland will not have been exposed to the invisible and subcultural undertones which will subconsciously bias research and opinions into craft history that may be sacrilege and taboo in this country, but will not be so much in others. A prime example of this is the work by Hippolyta Joseph da Costa called The Dionysian Artificers. I'm now speaking for myself, but when I learned that the rituals of Freemasonry were about the Masons of the Temple of King Solomon, I was curious to learn about the Masons' art, and particularly about temple building. For why are things as such in a temple? Why cut stone in a certain way? Why shape it a certain way? Why are the ratios of pillar to architrave as such? And isn't geometry the art of Euclid, a Greek, and not of the Hebrews? Why did Solomon use Masons from Tyre? And why was there a temple designer's handbook in the ancient world? The first writer who appears to have started the theory that the Masons sent by King Hiram to the King of Israel were members of the Dionysian fraternity is Sir David Brewster, and it was from this supposition that da Costa continued. Interestingly, the works on them, non-Masonic, can be traced to John Toland, who lived from 1670 to 1722. The Dionysian artificers is a term that has been used to describe a legendary group of skilled craftsmen and builders who were purportedly associated with the worship of Dionysus, the Greek god of wine, fertility, and revelry. Some theories suggest that the Dionysian artificers were involved in the building of ancient Greek and Roman temples, using advanced architectural and engineering knowledge. However, there is limited concrete evidence to support these claims, and much of the information is speculative. I believe that this is the notion of the holy temple builder's art and science that was the basis of da Costa's writings. So in summary, from its Jewish element, the cult derived its religious character as pure theism. And from its Tyrian element, it borrowed its peculiar mystical character and its system of symbolism, which is much assimilated to the pagan mysteries. The legend has been framed to be hereafter considered, which traces its origins directly to those associated of antiquity. So upon the completion of the temple, the workmen invested all of the secrets which had been promised in their initiation, and thus becoming master masons, dispersed that they might be enabled to extend their knowledge and to renew the labour in their other lands. So in other words, the Dionysian artificers encoded their secrets into Freemasonry. It's purely speculative, but it's questionable in my opinion. So such is the legend which speaks to attribute the present form of Freemasonry to the connection of the Dionysian artisans of Tyre with the Jewish workmen at the building of the temple. So much of the legend as relates to the existence of a building sodality at Tyre, leaving out the question whether they were not Dionysiacs. Some of the members went to Jerusalem to assist in the construction of Solomon's temple. Well, this is undoubtedly historic, but to attribute Dionysian attributes to them, I think, is the error. Which brings up, you know, the fact of the Dionysian cult. It's the most ancient of the Greek myths and one of the dying and resurrecting gods. So although the Dionysian artificers might not be related to the artisans and craftsmen of Solomon's temple, does the legend of the third degree have anything to do with the Dionysian cult? This is a question that we will follow up in a further podcast, something that we will be examining in a few weeks' time. Brother Earnshaw, do you have anything to add to this at all? Do you have any comments?
Well, this is something that has intrigued me for a long time. How were the stones for the temple prepared in the quarries if metal tools were not used?
Yes.
That's a simple question, but the answer is quite difficult. In one of my books, I talk about medieval idea of a shamir, which is a worm that eats stone.
Yes.
Such a wild idea. But yeah, I think it was a way of getting around this idea of, you know, you can't cut stones without, in those days, they used copper. They didn't have iron. So they didn't have iron tools. They used copper tools. And so, yeah, it's very interesting. I'd like to hear more about it in your
We shall continue in part two. This is one of the great messages of Freemasonry. It says that no iron tools shall be used in the making of King Solomon's temple. Iron was, of course, used for swords and war making, and not a suitable material for the temple. Which is
it's also in alchemy. It's the base metal from which other metals are created. The seven metal structure had iron at the bottom, and the most perfect was, of course, gold.
Yeah. There you go. Well,
and that's also, it ties into why the candidate is challenged by the worshipful master to see if he's carrying anything metal into the lodge, because they didn't want to lower the energy of the lodge by having an inferior metal in the lodge.
Would you have given so freely as well?
Yes.
Interesting,
exactly.
Interesting. These are all little nuggets of information that add up.
Yeah.
Yes. So please join us for part two, where we'll be discussing the Dionysian cult and its relation to the building of King Solomon's temple.
Excellent.
We now part on the square and we'll meet soon. If you have any questions, please email the link below. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.